Exodus 33, verses 7 through 11, these are God's words. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. And he called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought Yahweh went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And Yahweh talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. As far as what the Lord has revealed to his people and in his interactions with them, it is not decided yet whether the Lord will go with his people. He has told them that he will not, but he is giving Moses opportunity to intercede for them, as Moses has already done a couple of times. Once, even upon the mountain before he came down, and once having seen and responded to the golden calf. And so Moses takes his tent, and he puts the tent, his own tent, far from the camp. And this is symbolic or indicative of what Moses has already said, that that he refuses to go without the Lord. And so the Lord has indicated that he will be separated from his people, and Moses puts his tent out there, but not in abandoning the people, but to intercede for the people. Indeed, although Moses' tabernacle, or Moses' tent, it's the same word. This is not the tabernacle, the designs of which were given on the mountain. That's not built yet. But Moses puts his tent outside the camp there for the meeting place. And yet it appears that Moses himself is staying in the camp with the people. He only goes out to the tent to meet with the Lord. And it's not just Moses who goes out there. Everyone who sought Yahweh went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And yet there's a difference when Moses goes. There are those who seek after the Lord, and they go, and the cloud stays in the sky. And yet they are seeking the Lord. This is a marvelous work that the Lord has done in such a short time for his people, that they would grieve over the prospect of having everything else except the Lord. They say, no, the Lord is everything, and everything else is nothing without him. That they would be a people who seek the Lord, and that there would be all of these who would go out, and they would cry out, and considering the situation, probably crying out primarily that the Lord would go with them. And yet the cloud does not come down when anybody else goes out. And perhaps they were seeking him for other things as well. The Lord is, after all, our life. But when Moses goes out, the cloud comes down. And when Moses goes in, the cloud guards the door, as it were, of his tent. And the Lord speaks to him there. The Lord speaks to him face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And what an encouragement this is to the people, for they must not think jealously, why does God meet with Moses when Moses comes but not with me? But Moses is their mediator. He is the one appointed for their good. And that's how they respond. When they see Moses go in and the cloud come down and the cloud guard the door, did you notice what the people do? Whenever Moses goes out, The people rise and they stand at their tent door and they watch to see what happens. Verse 8, Moses goes in, and when Moses goes in, the pillar of cloud descends and stands at the door. Verse 9, and when the people see that the pillar of cloud has descended and stood at the door with Moses in the tent, each one arises and worships in his own tent door. You see, God has given them first the mercy of knowing that they have a mediator, one who is appointed for them. They know that they have no right to ask anything of God. They're creatures, they're sinners. And in themselves, they would have no hope. God would have been righteous to destroy them like he did to the Egyptians. They have even showed that by plundering themselves of their ornaments, just as they had plundered the Egyptians of those ornaments, among other things. And so they know they have no right, but God has given them to know that they have a mediator. And this is a great mercy from God. And God has given them to see that they have a mediator. He's made it visible with the cloud coming down and standing in the door. Well, God has given us to know that we have a mediator. Now, a cloud doesn't come down and descend, but he has caused his word to be recorded, and he has preserved his church and the world, and he has applied the righteousness and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus to multitudes, some of whom even we know. And we know redeemed people, redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're gathered together in the church, and even the officers that we have in the church are officers of Christ by his appointment and in his word. He's given us to know that the Lord Jesus has actually died and risen again, and that he sits on the throne of glory, and that he always lives to intercede for us. That which Job longed for, that he might know that there is someone who sets his hand on him and who sets his hand on God and who goes between and pleads for the one who has no other case but the mercy of God and the mediator that God has provided. What Job longed for, we have, and we have even better than these people who could see that. And he's not just given us to know the fact that we have a mediator, but he often gives us to see that we have a mediator, and to smell, and to touch, and to taste at his table. When we show forth the Lord's death until he comes, we're not making memorial so much of the action of his death as the reality of the mediation that he conducts, his mediating for us on behalf of that death. He has died once for all, and he always lives now to intercede for us, says Hebrews, by the power of his indestructible life. The blood that he shed, he has taken, as it were, to heaven. And he pleads his own sacrifice for us there. And his sacrifice is abundant, and his intercession is continuous. And just as he gave the people of Israel to see the reality of an earthly mediator, Moses, by the cloud coming down and the cloud standing in the doorway, he gives us to see and smell and touch and taste tangible evidence of the fact that we have a mediator who is in heaven, who sits there bodily, and that which he has accomplished in his body, he continues to give us the benefits of. And so in the Lord's Supper, we have that mercy. Well, there's the mercy of knowing that they have a mediator. There's the mercy of seeing that they have the mediator. But there's also that mercy at the end of verse 10 of being affected by what they know and what they see. When each one worships in his tent door and he bows down to the ground and worships, the Lord is giving them to not be unaffected, not be cold towards the fact that God has given them this one who goes between, who pleads their case, and that they who are sinners may yet be reconciled to God, have relationship with God, have favor with God. And for many of us, this is the mercy of the three that we most need. We know the theology. We know that Jesus intercedes for us. We take the Lord's Supper. We've seen baptism. But often our hearts are not so affected, not so moved by the fact that the Lord Jesus intercedes for us with God, that he pleads the blood that he shed for us with God. Often our hearts are not thrilled. We don't melt in sorrow over our sin and amazement and thankfulness that God has wiped out that sin completely, and joy that we have not just been restored to a status of innocence and righteousness before him, but even adopted to be his children, and all of the affection of Almighty God that he has had within himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, from everlasting to everlasting. He created us so that we too might have fathers and children and understand what has happened, that his Spirit dwelling in us is the Spirit of the Son, who shows us the fatherhood of the Father and the sonship of the Son and our adoption in the Son. How can it be that we who know such things live so much of our life unmoved by them? And yet this too is something that God gives us in his mercy, to move our hearts so that we can read something like this and think about its application in the Christian life on this side of the cross, on this side of the resurrection, on this side of the ascension, on this side of the pouring out of the Spirit. And we can say, behold the mercy of God to Israel in Exodus 33:7-11. And behold how, and we say this reverently, how even greater is the mercy of God to me in Middle Tennessee in 2023. And will you, O Lord, will you not move my cold heart, my sick and weak and frail heart, that it is not moved from within itself by these things? And so he gives that mercy as well. Not just to know that we have a mediator, the fact of having a mediator, and the ability to observe that we have a mediator, but to have our heart moved and to respond with worship. Worship in these worship times, and of course in the entire life given to worship. Oh, that God would affect us with his word, that we might worship him that way, both in those stated times and then with the whole of our life. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how we thank you for the wisdom and mercy of your dealings with Israel, for we realize how often we have heard that which is good and right from your word, and we have not arisen from the stated worship to conduct the rest of our lives in response of thanks and praise and as an offering of our body as living sacrifice. And so we confess that our hearts have not been moved as they ought, but we confess, O God, that though to us belongs the sin and the shame and the confusion of faith, to you belong steadfast love and faithfulness, power and mercy. And we look to you, O God, to affect our hearts with that knowledge of Christ and that faith observation of him by your word that you have given us in this time worshiping you together. And help us to live as offering ourselves to you in response with hearts that you have moved by your Spirit until we come to worship you together again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.